It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix, Jeff and Taylor on the microphones. It is finally Friday, and that means it's time for us to go local. We'll have our main high school sports weekend preview right now, and for that we are joined once again by Michael Hoffer of Hoffer's High School Sports. Michael, thanks for being here once again, man. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. I know it has been a pretty busy week for you covering sports for Hoffer's High School Sports, but I want to go first, of course, because we had a couple big matchups on the softball diamond this week, and the Chevres Stags, over a 24-hour period, beat both of the other teams that are really in contention there in A South, in Windham and Gorham. What did we learn about all those three teams here this week as you saw them all up close?
Yeah, it was a fascinating 24 plus hour period, guys, at the start of the week, and this was all necessitated by a rainout last week, because Chevres was supposed to play Gorham last week, but when that game was moved to Tuesday, it meant that Chevres had the daunting task of turning around and going to Windham on Monday and then hosting Gorham Tuesday, and they did pass both tests, so they are 7-0. They're now atop the Heel Point standings, and not really a big surprise to most of us, but it's interesting to see that Gorham especially really gave them a battle the other day. That game was 2-0, and if it wasn't for a couple of nice defensive plays by Chevres' left fielder, Abby Kelly, that could have been a different result. So as far as the Rams are concerned, they've got to feel really good about their chances going forward. They're 8-1 and third right now in the Heels, and all we've done in all preseason and so far in the early season is talk about Chevres and Windham, but I tell you, that Gorham team is right there, too. They can swing the bats, and Bella McBrady, who came over from Deering this year, has done a great job on the mound for them. And, Windham, they're playing the long game. They decided not to pitch Kennedy Kimball, their ace. They let her go once around the Chevres order the other day, and she held them scoreless in her little stint. But after that, Windham went to their number two and number three pitchers, and Chevres managed to hit them, score six runs, and I don't think that Chevres is going to see Kennedy Kimball again until we get to a regional final or a semifinal matchup if those teams do square off. So while Addison DeRoche went every pitch in both of those games, and both teams got a good look at her, Windham decided not to put their ace on display, and Chevres took advantage with their bats. They hit three home runs, Haley LaMontagne, Addison DeRoche, and Abby Kelly, who I mentioned earlier. With her great defensive play, she had quite a week for the Stags. So they're sitting pretty here as we're roughly at the midway point of the season. But, there are some other teams, though, that I think feel like if they get Chevres on the right day, Windham and Gorham certainly have to feel like they have a chance. And, Kennebunk with their ace, Julia Pike, they get a look at Chevres next week. So, the Stags are getting everyone's best every single game out there.
Yeah, and Pike, you mentioned her. Ethan Snow and I were talking about that matchup. I mean, that could be an interesting one-off battle if they ever met in the playoffs because of how talented Pike is. So you're right. It's not all Chevres here running away with this, even though it feels like that. And we talk a lot about their pitching. You've mentioned these bats. LaMontagne, I mean, this team can hit. It feels like we've talked, again, a lot about the pitching, but has this been kind of a development this year that this team can hit for power with all these home run numbers that we're seeing?
Yeah, I think, if anything, this is a better hitting team than it was a year ago. Last year, they certainly relied on Addison DeRoche. You knew she was going to shut everyone out every single game, and that Chevres, they would put together offense however they could. But no, they've been crushing the ball out of the park. Multiple players have hit home runs this year. It's not just the star players. Their leadoff hitter, Delia Tremble, just missed a home run the other day. Anna Goodman has a home run. Sadie Collins, who comes off the bench, she has a home run so far this year. I mentioned Abby Kelly's gone deep. So, I mean, this is a team that up and down the lineup has a lot of power, has a lot of dangerous bats, and, they just keep the pressure on the opposing pitcher. Not every team has tough hitters 1-9. Windham certainly does as well. Gorham has its share of good bats, but you look at what Chevres can do and the potency of their bats, and that it just makes them doubly tough, because you're going to struggle to get any offense against their pitcher. So you really have to shut them out as well, and that's pretty tough to do when there aren't many weak spots in the lineup.
Absolutely. And looking at Class B South in softball right now, Greeley is atop the Heel Point standings despite being 9-3, and the two teams directly below them, York and Levitt, are both undefeated still. York beat Greeley earlier this week here as well. But that seems to be shaping up to be a very interesting five-team race for the number one seed there in B South softball right now.
Yeah, it's been kind of a wild season. I mean, just last Friday, Greeley beat Freeport, which was a statement win. And in fact, it was Freeport's first loss at that point. And, you know, Freeport almost lost the other day at Yarmouth. They're down 12-3 going to the sixth inning. And they put up, I think, 16 runs in the last two innings to pull that game out. So a lot of these teams are never out of it. Freeport has several come-from-behind wins. You know, for my money, York's still the team to beat. They're the reigning champs. They've taken care of business against everybody, including a decisive win against Greeley the other day. And that was certainly a statement made. And Greeley's really done a great job. They score a ton of runs. They've had their share of dramatic wins as well, including one yesterday against Freiburg Academy where they tied it in the bottom of the seventh and won it in the bottom of the eighth. So, you know, with the way they can score runs, they're going to be a matchup nightmare for anybody. But, you know, like I say, until someone knocks York off, I think you got to view them as the favorite. And But all these games, I think once we get into the playoffs, we're going to get a lot of matchups. We're going to have some really high scores, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some upsets.
Yeah, and going to the Class A baseball diamond, I've been so impressed with the pitching performances. We've talked about some of the stud pitchers from Gorham all the way to Scarborough. But what Scarborough did this week was just, like, unbelievable. We talked about the Eric Swenson no-hitter from him, but they went and, I guess, kind of continued that trend this week, as you wrote, with 12 innings this week, not allowing a hit. Can you tell us about this Scarborough pitching staff? I know we talk to Coach Durba every week. I'm sure he's reading your articles, Michael, getting very excited to have Eric Swenson go up there to the University of Maine.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every time he takes the mound, he's utterly dominant, unhittable, and he was part of a combined perfect game the other day when Scarborough beat Chever 7-0. He went four perfect innings. Ryan Sugars went three perfect innings. You know, Swenson struck out 11 in his four innings. So, you know, if that's not impressive enough, they turned around yesterday and no-hit Windham 10-0 in a five-inning game. Nate Masters, it was his turn, and he was perfect except for a first-inning error. So good luck not only scoring a run on Scarborough right now, but getting a hit against them. If Mother Nature allows, we'll have a very compelling matchup tomorrow morning at Scarborough, and that would be Gorham at Scarborough. And I don't know what the pitching plans are. I can only hope what they are. Possible Wyatt Neto Eric Swenson matchup, but that game might not happen at all. If it does, I'll be there, and I can't wait to see what the lineups are and who's pitching in that game, because you know, Gorham is right there on Scarborough's heels with their great pitching, and it's not just Neto. You know, like Scarborough, they've got some other guys who can pitch really well. Miles Brenner and Jack Carlonis both had gems this week, and Gorham is really cruising along. Thornton Academy's having a great season. They're quietly putting together a great year. They're undefeated. South Portland right there at the top of the list. You know, they've got a great pitcher themselves in Hudson Iaquessa. He shut down Chevers yesterday. So some good teams in Class A. And you look at Falmouth with their record. They're 3-4, but they, you know, if it wasn't for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. They had a game last week where they had an early 4-0 lead at TA. The rains came. They had to come back and play it over this week, and it was a game they lost in extra innings. I mean, it's just been a tough stretch for them. And then they lost to Marshwood yesterday. Game was scoreless going to the ninth inning. Marshwood scores a run in the top of the inning. Falmouth puts two runners on to begin the bottom half, and then they hit into a triple play. So the hits are not falling right now for the Navigators, but I expect that team to figure it out, and they're going to be a very tough out too.
Yeah, should be fun to see how all that shakes out. I love seeing so many really good teams at the top of A South, because it's going to be should be a real interesting battle coming down the stretch of the season. Class B South baseball, I know, has a really big matchup coming up this week with a couple of the top four getting together in Greeley and Cape Elizabeth, Madomic Valley and Gardner having good seasons, as well as Gray New Gloucester off to a good start. Oh yeah, New York is lurking there too at 6-2.
Yeah, you know, Greeley, this time last week they were really looking invincible, and they've suffered a couple of tough losses here. They lost to Lake Region at the start of the week, and then they had a tough loss to Freiburg Academy yesterday when they lost by a run. They had the bases loaded, and the game ended on a fly ball, so they almost came back and pulled one out. And you know, Cape Elizabeth's now starting to peak here at the right time. They had a big extra inning win over Wells. They shut out Lake Region the other day behind a one-hitter from Andy Choi, and then another win yesterday against Yarmouth. So that game Monday, you know, the Cape Greeley games are always can't-miss affairs. They're always high drama. You know, there's a lot of intensity on the field and off the field as well with that rivalry. And we saw that in the team's first game a couple weeks ago. It was a 1-0 win for Greeley at home. And, you know, Cape would love to return the favor and maybe jump up and become the top team in Class B South. Very good chance these teams are on a collision course to meet late in the playoffs. But, you know, that's still a ways off. And then a couple teams that really have dominated this region the last 4 or 5 years, Freeport and Yarmouth, they're really both scuffling. I saw them play the other day at Yarmouth. Freeport came back and won. It was a 2.5-hour game. They won 11-8, but a big win for them. I think they're in the playoff mix as we speak. I'm not sure Yarmouth is, the defending state champ and two-time defending regional champ. They've really struggled so far at 1-7, but I still think they'll figure it out. They'll get in, and they'll be a team that no one's going to want to see.
Yeah, and going over to the lacrosse field, I know I was able to cover a little bit of Class A, Class B crossover action at Cheverus this week and see a little bit of the middle of the pack teams because we know how talented Falmouth is, and that's kind of one of where I go with it this week. Obviously, Falmouth did what they did to Cape Elizabeth, and they'll get tested when they see Yarmouth, but teams like Thornton Academy are rolling 6-game winning streak, and they have a big game tonight against Cape. I mean, when you look at kind of the middle of the pack here in this one region for boys lacrosse, I mean, how do you see the middle of the pack stacking up? Because I know Falmouth's kind of run away as the end-all, be-all favorite, but it does feel like a lot of those teams in the middle are pretty close to each other.
Yeah, I think the question was who's going to emerge as maybe the number two team, and I think, you know, you can make the argument right now that it is TA, and, you know, TA gets a chance to make another statement tonight at home against Cape. And even though Cape's down a little bit, I don't expect much mercy coming from the Thornton Academy side. And, you know, even when Cape is strong, TA's had their has been able to go toe-to-toe with them and be very successful, including a win last year down in Saco. So I think if TA continues to progress, they're going to be very tough. They're going to get another shot at Falmouth late in the season, too, down in Saco. So we'll see if they've closed the gap at all. But, you know, South Portland's playing really well. They've come a long way. You know, I don't think anyone's going to want to play Cape Elizabeth when the playoffs come around. I know it's been a challenging year, and there's been some history made for the Capers in ways that they don't like to remember. But they'll certainly be the best version of themselves when we get to the tournament. And, you know, Scarborough beat Cape. Deering's a team that's certainly capable of being dangerous on a given day. But I think ultimately the question is, it's Falmouth playing against history, right, guys? I mean, they've been so incredibly dominant. And, you know, will someone give them a game? Will it be Yarmouth a week from tonight? If not, they might just steamroll through everybody in the schedule. And, you know, I'll have to do some research. I don't know what the biggest average margin of victory for a team is en route to a championship, you know, presuming that's how it plays out. But, you know, this team will certainly be in the discussion as one of the great teams, presuming they finish the job. And like I say, that game next Friday is going to be terrific because, you know, Yarmouth has been so good as well. They've got an interclass game tonight at home against Scarborough. Check that out. Like I say, Scarborough can be dangerous on a given night, and Yarmouth's really flying high, so they better take that game seriously. But, you know, so far so good. They're leading the pack in Class B, and you know, York has just the one loss at Yarmouth. They're going to get another crack at them down at their place. And Kennebunk's quietly putting together a really good season. Freeport's a team, I think, that's dangerous, that on a given day could knock somebody off, too. So there are some other teams, but, you know, right now it's really Falmouth and Yarmouth that are leading the conversation, and deservedly so.
Yeah, and on the girls' lacrosse field, I know you covered a game that saw a last-second winner for Scarborough this week against Cheverus. That seems like a really, really big win for the Red Storm there, and maybe a tough one there to take for Cheverus as they try to chase down Kennebunk for first place.
Yeah, and you know, like I was writing, on any given day, you just don't know what you're going to get in Class A girls' lacrosse, which is awesome. It's fun. I mean, for so many years now, it's been Kennebunk and Falmouth, and once Yarmouth moved up, it was Yarmouth. And this year, you know, Falmouth and Yarmouth are quite a ways down the list, and we've got a lot of newcomers in the mix that are a lot of fun to watch, and I think it's great for the sport. You know, Cheverus was really riding high until they ran into Scarborough. Scarborough is coming off a 10-goal loss at TA, who's another terrific team, but they put it together yesterday and got the goal from Maddie Howes with 3.6 seconds left to pull off the stunner there, and you know, that propels them right into the number 4 seed. You know, they were down quite a ways in the Hill Point standings. That lifts them up. You know, like I mentioned, TA with a really tough loss last weekend at Cape. That's a game that went to overtime. It seems like every time I see these games, they're either going down to the wire or going to overtime, which makes for terrific drama and kind of helps my stories write themselves. So I love covering these games. And then TA bounced back, like I said, with that win over Scarborough. Marshwood quietly, I mean, they're really not getting much attention up here at all, but they have some big wins so far this year. And they gave Kennebunk a pretty good game yesterday before Kennebunk won 13-7. So I think you have to take them very seriously. You know, for my money, Wyndham's as good as anybody, even though they're way down in the standings right now. I saw them take apart Yarmouth last week. They've got a big game coming up this week at TA. So, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of teams in there, and I think it's great for the sport. You know, Class B is a little bit of a different story with Freeport kind of being the expected favorite, but Mount Ararat, they're undefeated as well. I still think Greeley will work their way up the ladder and be very difficult outcome tournament time. And, you know, Class C, Waynesley, defending champs, they're off to a really good start, too. They've got a big game at Wells today. That's a rematch of last year's state final, and NYA's in the hunt, too. So a lot of really good girls across teams and a lot of really good games so far this season.
Yeah, and you've been covering a lot of accolades in girls lacrosse, and there was another one with Annie Barker there that you mentioned getting her 300th career win. I thought it was interesting, though. I'll let you tell us. I didn't realize she's now only the second ever women's coach to reach that milestone. That was surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, you have to coach a long, long time to get to these milestones, to get to these levels. And, yeah, there's only been two girls coaches and two boys coaches that have done it. But she's been there a long, long time and had a lot of success, and they fell short last year, right? And I think that's just made them even more hungry this year. That's still a relatively young team there, this Kennebunk team. So this isn't going to be a one-year run there. They're going to be tough to knock off, but, you know, like I say, there are some teams out there. You know, Wyndham had them in a very close game the first game of the season. I know they want another shot at them. I'm sure Marshall feels like they maybe have a chance. You know, Chevers with its firepower, they might have a chance. TA plays Kennebunk, I think, the last game of the season. So that'll be interesting. And, you know, again, it's just nice to be able to talk about multiple teams being in the hunt here.
And finally for you here, Michael, what games are you covering that folks can read about at Hoffers High School Sports in the coming week?
Well, so I got a lacrosse doubleheader at Yarmouth tonight. The girls play Greeley, two teams that really honestly need a win. And then the boys take on Scarborough. As I said, that's a game that Yarmouth comes in 8-0, but they can't take Scarborough lightly after Scarborough beat Cape earlier this year. Hoping to have coverage of that Gorham Scarborough baseball game tomorrow, weather permitting. And then, you know, next week we've got Greeley Cape baseball squaring off. We've got Wyndham TA girls lacrosse squaring off. You know, a lot of big games. And then, of course, next Friday, which I think we can talk about on next week's show because it'll be before the game, but maybe the boys lacrosse game of the year when Yarmouth goes to Falmouth, and we'll see if Yarmouth's the team that might be able to give Falmouth a game. So still some big games to come, but we've only got a couple weeks left here in the regular season, and June isn't that far away, and that's when we start thinking about championships and playoffs and all these sports.
Yeah, absolutely. I know lacrosse and baseball and softball state championships are about a month away, so we're already getting there.
5 weeks, yep.
Yep. All right, Michael Hoffer from Hoffers High School Sports, thanks for sharing some time with us. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again next Friday.
All right, guys, good to chat with you. Everyone have a great weekend.
All right, again, Michael Hoffer from Hoffers High School Sports with our main high school sports weekend preview. We'll come back to wrap hour two. It's Middays with Mannix and Mannix on your Finally Friday.